Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. In a moment, we'll be talking with one of the opponents of an upcoming debate on evolution that'll be here in Denver. It'll be Sunday night. It's coming right up. In fact, it's this Sunday, May 17th at DU, the University of Denver. We'll talk to one of those opponents, one of the opponents, the creationist, in just a moment. First, it's great to be back from Pepperdine University. I was invited this past weekend to speak on campus at somewhat of a protest conference because the school there, founded by Church of Christ members, very well known all over the country, even though it is Christian outwardly, it is aggressively anti-creation, anti-biblical creation. So we had quite a wonderful event on campus, and then also at a nearby Chinese Bible church. David Coppedge, who had been fired from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, he came out to one of the talks. He was at my dinosaur soft tissue talk. We're thinking about airing one of those talks. So it was just a great time. We took out an ad in the Malibu Times to reach folks, including Hollywood celebrities, of course, who live there. Probably more stars per square foot than anywhere else on Earth. And that ad was somewhat provocative, certainly caught the attention of the administration on the campus. I got to talk with some of the speakers there and one of their theistic evolution professors, but it was a good time. So we'll talk more about that in the future. Right now, Bill Jack has been fighting the fight in Colorado for many years. Whether it's national news I see him on, whether Fox News is reporting his effort to show the bias. You know, we've had Jack Phillips with Masterpiece Cake Shop. We've reported about the harassment of his business because they're not pro-homosexual. Well, Bill Jack, who is going to debate at DU coming up on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, Fox reported about his efforts to show the hypocrisy because he asked for some cakes to be baked at a homosexual bakery and they refused. But also, Bill Jack is the co-founder of Worldview Academy. So what an honor to have him on the program. Bill, welcome to Real Science Radio.
Thank you, Bob. It's my honor to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm so excited about the debate. I'm planning on attending. We're announcing it at Denver Bible Church Sunday morning so that hopefully that evening we'll have a good group out. And I know it's free to attend, but could we start first talking about your effort with local bakeries?
Well, you know, I saw what was happening around the country, Bob, with the anti-discrimination laws being amended to include sexual orientation. We all are aware of what happened in New Mexico with the photographer, with the bakery in Oregon, with the florist in Washington State, and with Jack Phillips here in Colorado. And so I saw that those laws were being amended, and then a couple of years after they were amended, they were being used to silence or to intimidate Christian business owners who bring their faith to bear in the marketplace.
For decades, the claim was from the homosexual community, we just want to be left alone. And here at Bob Enyart Live, we've been on the air for 24 years, 5 days a week. We've always pointed out how obviously untrue that is. And so there have been lawsuits. We got to bake cakes for homosexuals, cookies, send flowers, provide haircuts, take photos, forget your student club if it's not pro-homosexual. You're going to print our T-shirts. You'll even host our wedding and even on your church property. And believe it or not, we want a parade, and you're going to provide security. And it goes on and on and on, forcing Christians to affirm homosexuality. At least that's their goal.
And that's exactly what happened with Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips at Masterpiece Cake Shop did not deny service to an individual. He refused to participate in an event it violated his conscience. There is a big difference between those two things. He did not refuse service to people. Yeah. He refused to participate in an event that violated his conscience. In fact, when the homosexual couple walked in, he said, you know, I'll be happy to sell you anything in the store. I just can't bake you a cake because that's an iconic symbol of marriage.
Bill, if we could talk about that for a moment, that's at a cake shop. We got members of our church who are in obviously different businesses. One paints houses for a living, indoor, outdoor. If he does not want to paint the apartment of a homosexual couple who will be there while he's there, he just doesn't want to do it. He should have every right to say no, to graciously say to them that I don't want to be an enabler to your lifestyle. What you're doing is wrong. And I don't want to be in your apartment. I don't want to see you guys holding hands or smooching or whatever. I think that we've sort of conceded a little bit too much to say, well, hey, of course we have to provide services. It's just symbolic things we don't want to do. I just like to make that point and stand up for the plumbers and painters and others with Christian values who don't want to be enablers and pretend that homosexuality is not a great perversion.
Right. And so what I saw happening was that these laws were being used as a club against Christianity in the marketplace. Mm. That the message that was being sent was you have to retreat to the pews of your church, but you cannot bring your faith to bear in the culture around you. At Worldview Academy, we teach students there is no distinction between the sacred and the secular, that we are to love God with all. And so when I saw what was happening here, especially with Jack Phillips, I said, you know, Christians are pretty good at playing defense. I mean, we've defended Jack Phillips. We've defended the pizza place in Indiana, but we don't play offense very well. Mm. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go to several bakeries that advertise on the LGBT-friendly sites. It's not necessarily that they are owned by homosexuals. They're just bakeries seeking business opportunities. And I'm going to request two cakes, both in the shape of an open Bible. And on one cake, what I want, on one side of the page, God hates sin, Psalm 45:7.
Well, Bill, Bill, before you tell us the rest, the national media reported that you had asked for homosexual slurs to be put onto these cakes.
So, right. In fact, they even showed cakes with those slurs as if that's what I requested.
Wow. That sounds
like... they made up cakes.
Sounds like libel, but go ahead.
Yeah. So on one cake, I wanted God hates sin, Psalm 45:7, and on the facing page, homosexuality is a detestable sin, Leviticus 18:22. On the accompanying cake, I requested God loves sinners on one side, and on the facing page, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And when I was refused service, I filed a claim of discrimination with the Colorado Civil Rights Division, claiming discrimination based on my creed. That was done back a year ago in March. As a result of that, one of the bakers eventually came out publicly, talked about the issue, and that's why it hit Fox News.
And then Nine News and really all over the country.
Right. And there was quite a firestorm because the misreporting that was done by Outfront magazine originally, which was just picked up by the news circle, misstated what was requested and what I really wanted. Mm. And then the Colorado Civil Rights Division ruled a couple months ago that there was no discrimination. They basically said this, that the bakers decided that what I wanted on the cakes was discriminatory or hateful language. Therefore, I was not discriminated based on my creed because what I wanted was hateful and discriminatory and crude language. Well, that's circular reasoning. My creed is based on the Bible. What I wanted on the cakes was the gospel. God hates sin. God loves sinners. That's the gospel.
Yeah, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and then God loves sinners.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
God sets the rules, not me.
But that's unacceptable. I mean, that is hate speech in today's culture. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's hate speech.
Well, the legal director of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union chapter here in Denver, in referring to what I requested on my cake, said that bakers should not be forced to put, quote, obscenities on cakes.
Obscenities, right.
So now the Bible is considered to be an obscenity.
Mm. Well, and in Colorado, I think you probably are aware that we have a censorship bill. It was SB 200 when it was introduced. Now it's part of Colorado Revised Statutes. And it states explicitly that it is prohibited to publish anything. And it lists flyers, billboards, messages, books that would tend to discriminate regarding cohabitation or homosexuality. And when that bill was being debated, we went to the ACLU and urged them to speak against it because it is literally, it's a censorship bill, and they refused. The governor eventually signed it. And so now, with the ACLU's approval, Colorado has an egregious censorship bill, which you could argue that the Bible, the writings in the Bible, tend to discriminate against homosexuality. I mean, I could imagine.
Every bookstore in the state should be prosecuted under that law,
right?
Because they carry Bibles. And by law, they are discriminating by carrying Bibles in their bookstore. And that's what's happening is that these laws are being amended, and then a few years later, they're being put into practice because people have forgotten that the laws are on the books.
Yeah.
And so that's why I did this. I wanted to expose the hypocrisy. It's Ephesians 5:11. Do not participate in deeds of evil, but rather expose them. I wanted to find out if they were going to apply the law equitably. I fully believe that those bakeries that I approached have every right to refuse me service. But under Colorado statute, they are obligated to violate their consciences.
Wow.
And put on the cakes what I wanted.
What a great
I believe
point.
They have every right to refuse me service. However, what the Colorado Civil Rights Division has ruled in saying that I was not discriminated against, my creed is the Bible. What I put on the cakes is the creed. It's the Bible. And so I have filed an appeal to the Colorado Civil Rights Division appealing their decision. And they have another 60 days, I think it is, to determine whether or not they're going to hear the appeal.
Wow. And by the way, for those interested, that's CRS, Colorado Revised Statutes 2434701. So they could argue that what you want put on these cakes is a violation of Colorado state law.
And every Christian needs to understand that that means the Bible is an immoral, illegal book that should be censored in the public arena.
Yeah, and they're looking for an especially unsavory character to go after with a violation of that statute. And eventually it'll happen. It's been on the books. It's just been sitting there. And it will be a weapon against the faith and against the church eventually.
And the reason that is because we have abandoned a biblical view of the world around us, including a biblical view of origins. And that's what this debate has to do with. It has to do with who's in charge here. Is it man or is it God?
Mm.
And so all of this ties together, Bob. It is a seamless tapestry. You pull one thread and everything comes unraveled. And that's what's happened in our culture because we've abandoned our foundation of creation, of the Creator. It's because of the Creator that we as Christians speak publicly. It's because of the Creator that Jack Phillips bakes wedding cakes and decorates wedding cakes. It's because
wow.
of the Creator that the photographer in New Mexico is celebrating weddings that honor what God has instituted. It is because of the Creator that you and I are taking time to speak on the radio. It's because of the Creator. That is the reason that Christians need to say is their foundation for everything. We have Christians out there who say, I just want to tell people about Jesus. Well, unless you have a foundation in God's Word and that foundation starts with Genesis 1, 2, and 3, then there is no need for Jesus. If there is no original sin, if there is no first rebellion, there is no need for Jesus. We've got to go back to the beginning and understand our foundations because, as a buddy of mine says, if the foundation is cracked, the house is jacked. You got to jack up the foundation before you put a roof on the house.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, the roof will leak like a sieve. The foundation is found in the first few chapters of Genesis. We as the Christian community have abandoned the foundation, and that's why this debate's taking place. It's really fascinating. I was doing a tour at the Museum of Nature and Science. I do tours from a biblical perspective using their exhibits, which are based on evolution. I teach creation. Drives the museum people crazy. It's called BC Tours.
BC Tours. We've talked about it. I don't know if you still do those tours with Rusty Carter, but we had Rusty on way back, probably 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, and Rusty and I, and when I'm in town, because I'm busy with Worldview during the summer, but when I'm in town, I'll occasionally do a tour for Rusty, and it happened to be one of these tours, and we were doing the tours, and I'm speaking, you know, to my group, and Travis Barlock, my opponent in this debate, comes up, and he overhears what's going on, and so he engages me in conversation. We eventually meet and over coffee and have a very heated discussion.
Oh.
And I challenge him and I say, look, why don't you set up a debate? And he's done it.
Wow.
To his credit.
Yeah,
he's
that's
done
pretty
this.
Neat. Now, Travis Barlock, he's got his bachelor's science in biology. He's a published scientific author. He's a young guy, he's an evolutionist. And so you met at the museum. That's pretty interesting. Do you know if Kirk Johnston, he was the curator there for years? And I heard conflicting rumors, one that he went to the Smithsonian, but I think he's still listed on the museum's website. Do you know anything about him in your years of going to the museum?
Yep. Actually, Kirk and I have had interesting conversations. He followed me around on a tour one time, and then we were interviewed by a Canadian Broadcasting Network. That's the equivalent of National Public Radio.
Yeah, right.
Here, and they did a whole series. They did a report on us, and he and I debated each other before a group of third graders at the museum, which was quite entertaining. Kirk and I go way back, and so he's a stand-up guy. He's wrong in his view of origins, but he's a stand-up guy. He and I will have a very friendly relationship.
Bill, I've only had one interaction with Kirk. We have done something similar, not organized the way BC Tours does that, but we occasionally will take homeschoolers, others, to the museum or the zoo or Dinosaur Ridge just west of Denver. And so we were there, and Kirk Johnston came out. There was a reporter for the Colorado Springs Gazette there. We probably had 60 kids. And so Kirk and I got into a discussion in front of the group and the reporter, and I asked him, they had an exhibit at eye level for children, and they said human teeth evolved from fish scales. And I said, Kirk, do you know that that's true? And he became Pontius Pilate, and he said, what is truth?
Yes.
So I said, Kirk, truth is a statement of reality. Do you know that that's true? He said, well, again, what is truth? So I thought, well, maybe he and I can have some common ground. So I asked him, I said, well, do you exist? Because if he answered yes, then at least we agree on some truth. So I said, do you exist? His answer was, I don't know. So that is where an atheist will go. Oftentimes, the Bible warns those who deny that there's a God, that it's only foolishness. So God is the foundation of all knowledge. So eventually, taken to its logical conclusion, they know nothing. There's nothing they could know apart from God.
That's a great question. I hope I get to ask that question of Travis on the debate on Sunday evening at the University of Denver. That's a great question. Thanks for giving me that question.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bill. What is the topic? What do you think you guys are going to cover?
You know, Travis wants to go to the hard sciences, and, you know, he likes to give evidences. And my position is, look, I'm an old bonehead English teacher. Evidence has its place, but evidence does not necessarily equal proof. He and I look at the same evidence. We draw mutually exclusive conclusions because of our worldview, our underlying assumptions. I assume God is. He assumes God is not. And so, therefore, my position is going to be more, what are the social implications of accepting an evolutionary model? The resolution is this, resolved. The model of evolution is a better depiction of reality than is the model of creation. And so that's the topic of the debate. He's probably going to try to go to the hard sciences.
Yeah.
I'm going to show that it is the underlying assumptions that he brings to the table that are important. And so that's what my plan is to go to those. And we're going to take audience questions. There's going to be a time for Q&A.
Oh, great.
There'll be a moderator. I anticipate that the exciting part will be the discussions among audience members after the debate is over. Mm. You know, people go to a debate the same reason they go to a boxing match. They want to see blood. So it should be entertaining, okay? It's not going to persuade anybody. What's going to be the fascinating part, and that's why I'm excited about being on your program, because I want to encourage Christians to come out to the debate, not to hear me or hear Travis, but to engage people in conversation
to share with
truth and grace afterwards.
Wow. Bill, we were down at DU for a debate on physician-assisted suicide. It was moderated by former Governor Dick Lamb. I was one of the four panelists. And then my co-host, Doug McBurney, was back a couple weeks later for a debate on the death penalty. And you are exactly right. In both debates, the event afterward, the after party, was as significant or more significant than the debate itself.
Right.
So a great time out. It's pretty much dead in the center of the DU campus, easy to get to off of South University in Asbury, I think it is.
Sturm Hall, S-T-U-R-M, and Davis Auditorium in that building.
And it's 5 o'clock, just in a couple of days
Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah. So we have only a little bit of time left. Could we talk about Worldview Academy?
Love to. Worldview Academy is a Christian leadership training program for students 13 to 18 years old, basically. We have older students. We have adults who attend, but it's mainly for 13 to 18-year-old students. We do them at camps across the country. We do 21 different camps. It's a week-long program.
Wow.
It's not a fun junkie camp. It's not a come get your unsaved friends saved camp. There are camps for that. It's a leadership camp. We concentrate on three areas, on worldviews, evangelism and apologetics, and servant leadership skills. But it's not merely sit them in a classroom. They're in class 29 hours out of the week. It's pretty intense. But we actually take them out and have them engage the culture. We'll take them out on Wednesday afternoon at wherever we are, on a college campus or a downtown area, and have them share their faith, have them engage people in conversation about worldviews. It is the best week of your student's life. If it is not, we'll refund your money. And I've yet to have a single person ask for a refund.
Wow. And you've been doing this for going on 2 decades now, right?
Yes. Yes. We're approaching our 20th season.
Cheryl and I, we've raised 7 boys, and we still have 3 at home who are homeschooled. And all 3 fall into that range, 13 to 18 years old. They're hockey players. That's one of their passions. But they
love to have them join us.
But
we have a Colorado camp.
Yeah, yeah, Colorado. What do you have coming up?
We have one in the fall, and it's down near County Line Road on Douglas County, so it's near Larkspur. And it's actually a camp setting. Most of our camps during the summer are held at college campuses, university campuses, because it affords the amenities that we need. Mm. And again, it's very intense. It's not for the faint of heart, but it is the best week of your student's life. Love to have people join us. Worldview.org. They can find more information. It's very simple. Worldview.org.
Worldview.org. And Larkspur is just beautiful. So this is a camp setting instead of a university. All right.
Yes, it's a little different.
Then you said 13 to 18, but you have something you said if some kids have just graduated high school. What do you have?
We also have a gap year program for students who are getting out of high school but want further training, want to dig deeper into their faith, or they're not quite sure what direction they wanted to go. If they want to go into a college atmosphere or they want to go career, but they want a year to take some time and get firmly grounded and rooted in their faith. And we have a gap year program, 2-semester program, down in Canyon City, Colorado, at an old abbey. And so we call it the Worldview at the Abbey.
Oh, neat.
Next year, we're limiting it to 24 students, and they can apply online. They can go to worldview.org, and there will be a link to the Abbey program. We'd love to have students check us out. Jeff Baldwin, who's one of the founders of Worldview Academy, and I do most of the teaching. We also bring in other speakers from around the country to lead sessions with the students. It's a very practical, hands-on opportunity. We take students out and have them engage the culture. We have them do projects in the community. There is the opportunity for students from around the country to experience Colorado amenities, such as whitewater rafting and rock climbing as well. So it's much deeper, more rounded program for students who are just now getting out of high school.
Two of our boys spent a week whitewater rafting with Alpha Omega Ministries.
Yes.
You know them. They're based in Western Colorado, Grand Junction.
Yeah, the Nuttings.
Yes.
Dave and Mary Jo.
Just fabulous. And our boys had the greatest time. And not only is it fellowship and fun, but what a foundation. You may know we're speaking with Bill Jack. There's a debate coming up Sunday night at the Denver campus. You could find the details on our website, kgov.com, of course, right on the homepage. Bill, at our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church. It's not a large church. If we have 100 people, we celebrate, you know, on a Sunday morning. But we're a homeschool church, and we focus on apologetics, including creation. We were planted about 15, 16 years ago, so we've seen kids grow up already. A generation of kids have grown up. Do you know those kids, three of them are now in full-time Christian worldview ministry. One is a pro-life liaison at the United Nations when he's not on campus at Harvard and Harvard Law School. So,
excellent.
This works when you teach your kids the foundation and the apologetics and the creation worldview. This is the best gift that you can give your Christian son or daughter to prepare them to stay firm throughout their lives.
We are convinced that a student, before he hits his career path or hits college, needs to come through Worldview Academy. We have numerous stories of students who have gone on to excel, who have been able to be salt and light on their campus, and they credit Worldview Academy's training with the ability to stand firm. We have an excellent faculty. We have three teams that travel across the country during the summer.
Wow.
And if it is not the best week of your student's life, I'll give your money back. But you have to find me after camp. That's the hitch on that one.
Well, Bill Jack, what an accomplishment that the Lord has done through you and your team for all these years with all these kids. So thank you for that. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday night. We pray that it's a blessing, and we'll pray for Travis too, Travis Barlock, that he'll consider the Lord.
And please pray that I do not embarrass our Creator, that what I say is spoken in truth and in grace, so that Travis may come to know the one who made him.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bill Jack.
Thank you.
All right. So what an honor to have Bill on the program. I don't think in all these years, like I said, we had his associate, Rusty Carter, on a long time ago, but I don't think we've ever had Bill Jack on. So what an honor. And if you are in Colorado, please go out of your way to be there Sunday night, 5 o'clock on the DU campus. We'll put the details on our website, kgov.com. And if you have kids, grandkids, teenagers, boy, worldview.org. So I'm going to share this with Cheryl and see if we could get our kids signed up for their fall program here in Colorado. That would be fabulous. And so we're out of time, right? Hey, this is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
About.